Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
A Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Adetula.
That's right, In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Adetula, hanging out with you as we are gearing up for Sunday Night Football. Texans, Bears, 720 at NRG Stadium. The fellas actually practicing in NRG Stadium today.
Roof open, too. Roof open. Looks really cool in there.
Dalton Schultz along with them practicing as well. So I imagine that means he will play. Interestingly enough, Juice Scruggs did not practice, as neither did Damian Pierce. So that's an interesting thing that's happening there. But Nico Collins did. So no worry about the illness that he was dealing with. He will, in fact, play. That seems very evident. So, yeah, a little bit more information on what's happening there. I don't know. I have not been able to see just yet if we've gotten any updates on the Bears.
I've been looking during the breaks. I have not. I think they started their practices a little later. Keep an eye on Juice Scruggs and Damian Pierce now. If
are we going to get the activation of Cam Akers?
I don't know. I mean, Fridays are big.
Lopez looking super excited right now.
No. Yeah, but that's real bittersweet, right? Yeah. And I don't know if that's a trade-off you want to make, because if you get Cam Akers but you lose Juice Scruggs, if you lose, like, your center.
Frankly, that's the one I'm more worried about.
More scary, yeah.
So, yeah, we'll keep you up to date with what's happening there as we get more information. And so, yeah, that's what's happened there. Yesterday, though, Bobby Slowick, the offensive coordinator of this team, talked to the media. And, I mean, I really would just want to run this because it's fascinating.
Yeah, real good stuff.
I've really come to enjoy listening to Bobby Slowick talk about this team and this offense in particular. But let's start here. Let's start with cut four here. Fig, because he was asked about the week one workload for Joe Mixon. We've talked about how just that's a lot. He was asked specifically, is that sustainable for Joe Mixon?
Physically, I'd say he's probably one of the few guys remaining in the NFL that could handle that. I mean, there's not many offenses you're going to run the ball to the same guy 30 times over and over and over and over again every week. But I'm not really worried about his workload in that regard. Like, he's just built and has in his past done that before and is built to do that. But it really is more of, we'll give Joe the ball as many times as necessary, you know, and we'll give Nico the ball as many times as necessary, and we'll give Steph the ball as many times as necessary, and Tank, and, like, really all the way across the board. And every game's going to wind up playing out different. So, you know, in that game, it was a 30-carry game for Joe, and when you have 30 carries and you're averaging over four, in his case, five a carry, that's a heck of a day.
Yeah, we are aware of that last part. But I think what's important with what he said, well, two things. Foremost, like, we've talked about this, you know, even when they acquired him, the dude is a workhorse. So it's not something that is just, you know, an aberration or anything like that. But the second most important thing, and this is what is going to be going on all year long, a heavy workload for him could be 20 this weekend, you know, on Sunday.
Sure.
It could be 20, and it's still a heavy workload. He still goes over 100 yards.
Especially if you're not expecting the Texans to have the ball for 80-some snaps, right, like it seemed like they did this past year, or past week, rather.
Mm-hmm. No, I think, you know, Mixon absolutely can do it. It's going to be, you know, I think the game is going to be a little different because I think they're going to try to really manipulate the defense with different looks from what they showed the Colts. And that means maybe throw the ball a little more to set up those 20 carries or whatever.
Yeah, but I did enjoy it, and I really appreciated the idea that he's like, we'll give it to Joe Mixon as much as necessary.
Absolutely.
Which, I mean, again, and we've heard it in various different facets, whatever the game calls for is what they're willing to do. And I like to hear, and it was evident by week one, that the game calls for running the football. They'll run the damn football.
Yeah, they will.
And with no fear or trepidation that man can't handle it, that man being Joe Mixon. All right. Some other things that Bobby Slowick talked about. He talked about game planning for this defense and the Bears that we know gets a lot of takeaways. Bobby, how do you do so?
Yeah, I really think they're good at every level. You know, their secondary is very good. Very good secondary. The backers fly around. They hit you. They're physical up front. They got some rushers, without a doubt, especially on the edges. You know, they can put pressure on you. And that shows in how they played last year. I mean, when we watch tape as an offense, we all think it's a very good defense. And all we've talked about ad nauseum is making sure we protect the ball and we protect the team. You know, that's really our big emphasis as far as going into this game, making sure that, you know, we want to rack up yards, touchdowns, all that. But the starting point of this week is making sure that we hold on to the ball.
All right, as I just mentioned, I think they're going to test some things in the air. Now, that the reality is the Bears are probably most susceptible against the run, but I could just see them mixing things up because, you know, the Bears know what Joe Mixon did too. But no, very, very good in that secondary for sure.
Yeah, and it seems very evident, but like, yeah, protect the football. And that's going to be an absolute necessity this week. I did want to get to this because I think obviously we talked a lot about it. This is cut five here, Fig. Stephon Diggs, and we played the audio of your guy, Nick Wright, talking about the 1.6 yards when it came to average depth of target for him in week one. And I know that there's our guy Ocho is on the text line worried about is Stephon Diggs going to lose it, right? And I know that this has become a little bit of an almost over-talked about conversation, but Slowick spoke to, you know, how does Stephon Diggs help the short passing game?
Yeah, I mean, he's tough. He has phenomenal hands. He's competitive, and all of that equals, you know, ball control. But he's also explosive, and that for us will enable us as the season goes to stretch the field. His ops in the last game really, you know, again, it was a lot of shell. So when his ops were called, it just didn't happen to be the right play. And a lot of times when we had to get the ball down underneath, he was the guy that was under there. But I think it really helps just reinforce to the quarterback that we can be willing to get the ball just for a completion when we don't get what we want, and we can trust the guys underneath to go move the chains, you know. And I like an example is one of the first third downs of the game, we throw it short of the sticks to Steph, and Steph's like kicking himself that he didn't get the first down, you know, because he takes a lot of pride in that. And that kind of mindset, that mentality, yeah, you can get him the ball anywhere.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep. And when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines Gel Flex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Man, I'm really intrigued. This is one of the more fascinating things I'm looking forward to. I could see, well, you heard him talk about, like, well, he was in the slot and they were in shell, so that's why he had, you know, more of the underneath stuff available. I could see a game where he's not even in the slot very much at all. He was in the slot a lot.
Yeah.
You know, just because, and that's one of the things that ties in with what I'm talking about. I could see them maybe mixing things up. That's what I was referencing. And not because, like, they feel compelled, oh, we got to get Steph the ball some, you know, down the field. No, I think because of what the Bears defense is doing, they're going to use Steph however they can exploit that.
Yeah.
You know?
I think that that's always going to be a consideration, and that, again, falls in with the mentality that's been made abundantly clear, is that this team, whatever's necessary to get the win, especially with all of the tools that you have, the benefit of having a diverse set of tools is that you can use them in a diverse set of ways. Mm-hmm. And so limiting yourself with having all these tools would be a disservice. I appreciate that Bobby Slowick has made it abundantly clear that he's willing to use them how necessary. Now, you mentioned the idea of, like, that shell coverage that they saw. Mm-hmm. And I know that it could be easy to be like, oh, but when you don't see that, it's becoming that you get to that place. And I mentioned this before the season that we might be seeing that situation with C.J. Stroud is in that Patrick Mahomes school of things where we're just going to show you a lot of cover two and shell coverage to where we're not allowing you to attack. And Bobby spoke to the idea of how do you prepare for facing a lot of too high coverage?
Yeah, that the way the game went, you could probably, like, if you would rewatch it, you would likely feel a lot of what we're feeling just based on the flow of how the game was called. We went into the game, like, we're prepared for Gus's single safety, his split safety, and we were prepared for pressures, but we expected a steady mix. And that's kind of why we came out and we were fairly balanced run pass. And as the game went on and it just stayed too high, eventually you're going to take advantage of you know, where your matchup is. And I think third quarter we started running it more. Fourth quarter it really felt like we threw the ball very little, and a lot of it was, you know, that goes back to what's so fun about this group. They just empower you to do whatever you need to do to win the game, and that's what we were able to pull off.
Man, it's fun to have toys, isn't it?
It is.
It's fun to have toys like Mixon, and we heard the audio clip of D'Amico Ryans, you know, talking about, like, I just told him, keep doing that. You know, well, that's why, because it's not just like he's hot. It's because he's hot because that's where you can exploit what they were trying to do defensively.
And again, this is something we spoke to, and I found it interesting. I mean, obviously Gus Bradley has a very particular style with that you know, single high safety as he was speaking to there. I do wonder if teams are just going to look at that and go, hey, we have to try and force that.
Yeah, I think they are. This. Or at least more.
And again, that speaks to what we were asking earlier this week. Did that performance kind of change the way that this goes? And I don't know, maybe it's not even just that performance itself. Maybe that's just having the wide receiving corps that you do, having the quarterback in C.J. Stroud that has the respect of the league. You're probably going to see a lot of lighter boxes or safeties that are, you know, further back, stepping back. And that might just mean that this is the way that the offense goes. This, the third and fourth quarters of game one, week one, might be instructive into what we might see from this Texans team a lot more all the way across the season.
The fun thing for me is, you know, there's going to come a point, and it might happen earlier this game, where the defensive coordinator is just going to say, man, we got to stop mixing. You know, we got to do this differently because he's killing us. And then all of a sudden, that's why I said it's fun to have toys. Then all of a sudden, the whole script reverses and you've got better options throwing the ball down the field. But no team is just going to continue to get gashed, you know, by the running game. At some point, they might have to make that adjustment, and then there you go, throwing the ball downfield.
And along those lines, is there just still more on this table on the table for this Texans offense, Bobby Slowick?
You know, honestly, it's probably this way across the NFL week one. But, you know, we really wanted to play clean football. That was one of the big emphasis we made going into the game. And I think execution-wise, mentally, as far as doing our job, in particular in the run game, we did that. But we didn't always do it well. If you know, like there were some technique and fundamental things we definitely could clean up. I know Joe had some one-on-one ops in the hole that he would like back, you know, and just little things like even how we have a track on a certain play or what our angle is on a combination up to the second level. We were off, and we still got some good plays out of it. But if we were on it, to us, like, we see explosives, you know. So we felt like we missed a few of those. And then in the pass game was a little bit of everything. Protection was some physical and a lot of mental that we had to be on top of, and really it was the same route-wise all the way across the board. Like, it was a lot more inconsistent than the run game was.
First of all, the insight you're getting from an offensive coordinator in the NFL is off the charts.
It was a fascinating listen when it came to Bobby Slowick talking yesterday.
It really was. But I, you know, what he's talking about there is kind of what I just mentioned. I wasn't talking about the cleaning up the stuff, but what the opportunities that you have with Mixon running the ball, there's going to be, you know, a complementary option when they make that adjustment, and that's what he's talking about.
Yeah, I'm so excited knowing that. And I think we all kind of saw that within the offense, that it wasn't as clean a game as you'd want offensively, and they still put up 29 points. I'm excited to see what happens as they hone this in. I mean, C.J. Stroud on the podium after the game talked about, you know, how, you know, there were still things to be cleaned up. He made that front and center. He made sure to keep that in focus. I'd love to see what the fully polished version, or at least a more polished version of this offense looks like, because I think we talked about this off air. This feels like a 30-point-a-game type of offense every time out.
And they really didn't let it rip. You know, they were obviously Nico had his day, so I'm not trying to, you know, talk bad about that. But because of Mixon and everything, I think that's kind of what CJ was talking about too. There were some opportunities where maybe they could have, like I said, just kind of let it rip and run something that would maybe be a little riskier, but they didn't have to.
Yeah. You know? Pass pro being better from the start, from the jump on the game, will be also very helpful. Tytus Howard talked about that as well. Really, really want to see that. And we'll see if Juice Scruggs is available, because we saw he's not playing today, and what that could possibly manifest when it comes to this offense. But yeah, really enjoyable to hear Bobby Slowick talk. Somebody said it sounds like he's auditioning for job interviews. I feel like everything he does now is in some ways auditioning.
He doesn't need
for job
to at
interviews.
This point.
Yeah, I feel like most teams around the league probably already pretty sold on the man, Bobby Slowick, your offensive coordinator for these Texans. But there you go. Excited. Very excited. Sunday Night Football, Texans, Bears, can't wait. Coming up next, let's go. When we get the in loop, we got to get to the lunchtime confessions this time of day. We'll do that next.
Sometimes it's sports, sometimes it's not. Whatever it is, Reggie and John are keeping it real. It's In the Loop's Lunchtime Confessions, brought to you by Sagamore Spirit Rye Whiskey. Watch this.
My Figgy, this isn't a confession. I kept trying to figure out how to turn into this into a confession. I have one, but just as an aside to get into it here. Were you as blown away as I was that Reggie said he's never, never...
Well, go ahead and take my confession then. Okay.
Oh, okay. Right. Okay, well, you start.
All right. Yep, this is a confession. We have Sunday Night Football, Bears Texans at NRG Stadium. I can see right now outside of our window. I will be in attendance along with these fine gentlemen and all of the Sports Radio 610 fellas. You know, that's where we be. This is what Texans play here, all that good jazz. And it'll be my first time watching an NFL football game in stadium.
I'm just blown away.
Yeah, man.
So have you been inside of a stadium for a game before?
I have. Not for an NFL game. Been to some soccer matches and some stuff. Yeah. I've been to a soccer match at NRG.
Yeah.
Been to, I think, like a conference at NRG before when I was younger.
Mm-hmm.
Obviously been to basketball games for games and things of that nature, but just hadn't.
And I'm not passing judgment. I'm just blown away.
I've been outside of a football game during a stadium before, or during, rather, a mm-hmm. football game, but I have not been in the stadium for a game. That changes Sunday.
Yeah, it's kind of shocking. It's not really surprising, though, because there's a lot of people, especially if you work in this industry.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the times, you're actually working a game behind the scenes and stuff
sure,
like that.
Sure, sure. That happened for a long time.
Yeah, and Reggie's background.
And you've been in studios and all that.
He was a producer.
Stuff.
Yeah, he was exactly. pretty much me.
No, no, I'm not passing judgment. I'm just like.
Know, it sounds kind of judgy.
At some point, I would have thought, hey, Reggie, can you go to the blah, blah, blah and, you know, get some,
yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Yeah. I did skip the go to the locker room and get audio portion of the program. I will say that. Yeah. And then honestly, like another part of this is I do wonder what percentage of football fans just all the way around have actually been to a game in person. Because I don't know, sometimes we can.
We're in a different category, though.
Right.
You know.
That is fair. Yeah. But yeah, when it wasn't a part of like the work dynamic, or when I was not like having to mm-hmm. be there. It's just easier to watch a game on the couch, man.
I wonder what the advice should be for Reggie.
Ooh, buddy. Yeah, what is your advice for somebody who is attending their
a Texans
first?
Game?
Yeah, I would say just a game in general in that big of a stadium. You look, man, I go through this every year, like first game of the year. I always get lost in that mofo, man.
Yeah.
I always be walking, like, where's the press box at? How you get here? Like, I always get lost,
yeah,
man, I walk way more than I should.
I'm following people on Sunday.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of just hanging on somebody's hip.
Yeah, hang on somebody from sports radio, hang on their hip, man, because everything starts looking the same. You be like, wait a minute, I thought I was over here, and you be all the way over towards the Astrodome side.
Yeah.
And you got to get to the other side. And just hang with the 610 crew, man.
Jonathan Alexander gonna look up like, who is this guy following?
Yeah. Watch this. These are my confessions. Yeah, I was wrong about the dynamic kickoff.
you're ready to put it away.
On, yeah. I think there's an adjustment that can be made, and it'll be exactly what I thought it would be. If you don't remember, I've been like, this is going to be great. There's going to be some excitement. It's not just a throwaway play anymore. After one weekend last night, it's a throwaway play.
I'll let you explain. What do you think they should do?
Just instead of taking it to the 30, take it out to the 35, maybe the 40 if you kick it into the end zone. You want to see returns? Make the penalty a penalty. The 30's not really a penalty.
Nah, it's not.
Every defensive coordinator say, we can handle that. We can handle that.
I think they should probably move the kicker back.
That
further
too.
How it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
And that way, like, it would be damn near impossible to have a touchback, or at least
they can still kick it out there.
I mean,
I don't know why these kickers.
They can kick it in.
A lot of them can, but there would be more return.
But they could kick it in the end zone, but at least when you catch the ball, you could consider running it out.
Yeah.
Because sometimes when it's just way far back, you ain't even thinking about even catching the ball.
It's sad because it's a great idea. I still think it's a great idea. It's just, it's not working, man.
I always was on the Shiano plan of adjusting the kickoff, which is kind of getting rid of the kickoff, not entirely, but making it a 4th and 15, right? So the team that just had scored the touchdown in this theory or whatever, 4th and 15, and you can punt the football if you want to, or you can try and go for it. And so like that also eliminates the idea, or I mean, not entirely eliminates, but it gets away from, hey, if you're trying to get an onside and you need to return or get the football, you don't need to then declare that, hey, we're going onside, right? You can fake punt it if you want, or you can do the thing that really makes sense, as opposed to, you know, getting the football or getting the ball back up to, does the ball bounce the right way? Does your kicker happen to do something? Or do you guys have the right special teams play? Now it's like, hey, put your offense on the field.
No, I get it.
Trust your quarterback.
I think that'd get a lot of pushback.
I'm sure.
Like, people want to see kickoffs. It's sort of just a moment in time.
Do people want to see kickoffs themselves? Or
but
people,
not
do people,
these.
Do people want to see action?
No, for sure, action.
Because I was like,
no, but
is it
but
about the kickoff itself, or is it really about seeing action? Because if it's seeing action, well, a punt gives you some level of action. A 4th and 15 trying to pick up the first down in order to retain the football gives you action.
All I'm saying is the penalty's not enough. This is like LeBron finding LeBron James $100,000. You know,
hey, that's a lot of damn money.
Not
though,
for
man.
LeBron, it's not.
Watch this. These are
So I seen a couple people tweet over at NRG that the roof is open and all that stuff during practice. They might as well open the roof for Sunday
let's
night football,
go.
Man.
Yes. Come on.
Like, let's do it. This is the first Sunday night football game in a minute. Just open the roof.
Imagine,
man.
The visuals from the drone or the blimp or whatever.
Exactly. It's a night game. It's a Sunday night. Yeah. It's supposed to be a whiteout.
Liberty White. Make sure you have it.
Liberty White. Sold out. Just open the roof, man. Unless it's like some type of weather thing going on.
No, I'm looking at it right now, man.
Yeah, if it's supposed to be
I just called it clear. Up.
If it's supposed to be clear, man, just leave it open, man.
Partly cloudy. Yeah, it's going to be at kickoff, it's going to be 85 degrees.
Yeah, I would leave it open, not only because of the visual, but the visual of the actual roof with the hole in it, that's not a good look, man.
Yeah.
You don't want the sky showing the skyline and showing the NRG roof with a little piece missing, man. Nah, just leave it open, man. Look, the whole world don't need to see all
that's
that.
That's true. That's true. That's a good point. It's like, man, they're all messed up down there.
Yeah.
<It's>
like, yeah, but I mean, we could clear that up real quick if our guy, Mike Tirico, gets out there and is like, remember that Hurricane Beryl knocked it, and then they can't say nothing. Right?
I did see a picture of him talking to Cal. Cal was talking to Mike Tirico and Chris Collinsworth.
All right.
So maybe he is explaining the hole
Look,
in the roof.
You're going to see a hole in the roof. It's not that bad.
Hey, if they pan on the roof, just let them know that it was Hurricane Beryl, and we're working on that. So don't trash us.
Don't trip. Yeah. Watch this. These are my confessions. This is mine, right? Mm-hmm. All right. We done switched up the order. I got to get a feel for it. I got a homie coming down, hang out. And I'm like, I don't actually know what I should do tomorrow. Because my confession is, you kind of have to entertain a friend here. I kind of just want to sit around and watch football.
You can do this. You can do this.
If somebody comes into town, you can't just sit around and watch football. Yeah.
No, but not at home. Is what I'm saying.
Go out to.
But you don't want to sit at a bar all day long.
You don't have to go all day long. You got to do something, right?
You know, you got to like get out the house, go do stuff. But I really just want to be at the house watching this football.
Well,
especially since
how tight are y'all?
Good friends.
Well, he wouldn't mind it. But go to like one of these like Kirby Ice House kind of places. You know, outdoor, indoor, little vibe working, maybe some music. You know, those types of things. You can handle this. And I think it would be a lot of fun. No, you got to do something with him.
Yeah.
He's spending the night?
I mean, he's hanging out down for the weekend. But
yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
You got to do that.
For sure. Watch this. These
are my confessions. Another NFL rules making confession.
Oh, here we go. Let's fix the NFL.
That's back-to-back.
I was commissioner.
Well, it is. I'm the commissioner on back-to-back confessions. I think the NFL should mandate that all quarterbacks wear the guardian cap.
Ooh.
Let's be honest here. We're talking hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars you have invested in these guys. We're talking about quarterbacks, whether it's Tua or anyone, but you know, that's what made me start thinking about it. Where it is the most important thing in the entire organization. Like, it's the most, like C.J. Stroud is the most important thing about the entire organization right now because he is that important to everything you're going to do.
Yeah.
And that's somebody who missed some time because of.
And he had a concussion or I guess it was a concussion. He went into protocol,
He was in protocol and stayed longer than we anticipated.
Yeah. At minimum, I don't care what they look like, and they frankly don't look that bad. When they wear the guardian cap.
No, I do wonder if, like, I understand what you're saying, like, mandated within the contract and those types of things. Yeah. But also, one thing about them being the most important player is that they also often have a lot more say and have a lot more leverage. And if they do not like it, I think that they have a lot more leverage to be like, hey, you don't make me do something I want
to do. No, make the league do it. If the league says it, they have to do it.
Yeah, and I do think that also the NFL is in a place where they're early on in utilizing the guardian cap. What is this, like two seasons? Because I think they've used them in training camp, and now they're opening this up to the idea of, hey, if you would like to use it during the season, you can. I think that once the NFL gets an opportunity to get more data as to if it's helpful within the season, I think that they might ultimately get themselves to a place where they mandate it in some way.
No, I get it, and that's what I think they should do. Watch this.
these are my confessions.
Man, so Dameon Pierce is not practicing today.
That's correct.
I'm not, I probably highly doubt that he play on Sunday. If Cam Akers is available and suit up and he have a okay game, I think that could be, I don't want to say the end of Dameon career or Dameon Pierce, you know, this season, but I think he could eventually be number three instead of number two, man. If Cam Akers play and he actually have a really good game or okay game, I can see him. I can see them keeping him at number two, man.
I'm with you.
That's the worst thing, Dameon. I know injuries. You can't stop injuries.
Yeah.
But that was the last thing that needed to happen for Dameon Pierce.
No, for sure.
Time with injury.
No, for sure.
He could get got.
And I'm with you in theory, but I think we're both kind of glossing over how much they love him.
That's what I've been saying the whole time.
They love them some Dameon Pierce. So, but let's be honest, Cam Akers was better than him in the preseason.
Yeah.
He was better.
That's what I've been saying the whole time. Yeah. But it seemed like the love for Dameon Pierce was he's our number two. This is our guy. So it don't even matter what Cam Akers can do. But if Cam Akers suit up and they actually give him a chance, I think it's a chance that they might keep him active. Man, I don't see them deactivating him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know about that, fellas. Like I remain in that place where they've laid down the plenty of tracks on how they believe in him.
Yep.
And again, I think it becomes a number game, just like it always has. Joe Mixon is on there. Dari's going to be on there for, you know, pass protection, special teams type stuff, and then British is on there for special teams. On there for special teams. Are you then going to have two other running backs active? I just don't know that you get to that place.
No, I agree.
There you go. Some lunchtime confessions on In the Loop Sports Radio 610. I love that our guy B. Scott is doing some things with the YouTube and the Twitch, getting our video streams updated and kind of changing some things.
We look prettier.
Do we?
Yeah, we're looking.
Yeah. Okay, cool. I'm not looking at myself in this.
And guess who told him to do that?
You did?
Ah, shout out to
Big. I'm like, man, I think it's a good idea if we move those cameras around, man, because I never liked the angles.
B-Scott said he's working, not quite there yet, but we'll get there. The thing that I did love about it and made me chuckle is that every time the B-Scott has popped into the camera behind Fig or in the studio, everybody's like, hi, B-Scott.
What's up?
Yeah. Look at B-Scott. So shout out to B-Scott doing the work. Shout out to Fig making sure that we put on a great broadcast for you both over the air and on the YouTube and Twitch. Appreciate you hanging out with us here, Sports Radio 610. All right, coming up next, what do you expect to be different from week one to week two with your Texans? Let's do that next.
It's a Football Friday on Sports Radio 610. Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, here's In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitullo.
That's right, you are In the Loop, Sports Radio 610. John Lopez, in theory. Figgy Fig and myself, Reginald Atitullo, hanging out
in
with
spirit.
You. In spirit. I was about to go real morbid with it, but I don't want to do that. That's a lot. Appreciate you hanging out with us. Always get involved with the program by texting in 713-572-4610. Where somebody said, a good point. The Guardian Cap would not stop your brain from, kind of bouncing around when you take a hit. Like, that's one of the things I always say is, like, you can't, there's not muscle that you're going to have to stop the brain from rattling around. That's how the concussion happens. It's your brain bouncing around in your skull and hitting the sides. But the idea of the Guardian Cap is more kind of like the car, the crumple zone in the car, right? More things that will decelerate your head in a manner that is better than just like hitting a flat wall. And so hopefully that limits the idea of the thing bouncing around, the thing being your brain. I like the idea. We'll see if they ultimately get there as the NFL seemingly at least tries to invest in making the game a little bit safer, putting a filter on the cigarette that is football. But
that's a good way to put it.
That's what it is, man. There's only so safe you can make it.
I won't get cancer. It's got a filter. Okay.
But you can't. All right. What do you expect to be different from week one to week two when it comes to your Houston Texans? Obviously, week one victory 29-27 over the Colts. Now you move to Sunday Night Football this upcoming Sunday. Make sure you get your Liberty White. Make sure you get your parking passes all sorted. Be there, be early, be loud, be proud, and ready to watch your Texans get a victory. But what do you expect to be different in the tangible aspect, and maybe, I guess, like in the way that it feels between weeks one and week two?
I expect the Bears to be different, and by
like wear different jerseys. And, yes?
And, you know, we talk about picking your poison. you know, and I alluded to it a little bit ago. They have to obviously be aware of what C.J. Stroud and these receivers are going to do. But I feel like based on what we saw, you know, what we saw from the Texans and specifically Joe Mixon and even more specifically this offensive line, I think the Bears are going to kind of really try to keep a closer watch, so to speak, you know, and manipulate their defense, use their defense in such a way to really try to limit Joe Mixon. And boy, that leads to what I expect different. I expect the Texans to really kind of let it rip a little more in the passing game this week. I really do, because you can't just ignore 159 yards and 30 carries, and it's deflating.
Yeah,
you know, and they don't,
especially at the end of games.
Yes, and they're on the road.
Yeah, when you hear them say, "Hey, if they get this stop, then they can force them to punt and get the ball back," and you not doing that.
Yes,
then
look what James Cook did last night. That took the life. It sucked the life out of the Dolphins.
Oh, that's the best way to absolutely bludgeon a team in the NFL is when you just, and shout out to Marshawn Lynch, I love quoting it, when you just over and over and over again run through MF or face, right? Like that type of feeling, it's tough. Like you might even use a word like it's emasculating, right? Like it just makes you feel like you have no agency over what's happening, because you don't. Those dudes over there on the other side are just deciding to manhandle you and get what they want. I happen to think though that I don't know that a team is going to lean so heavily on stopping the run that they dismiss what has been over the entirety of the offseason, very apparently a huge strength of this Texans team, which is number 12, number 3, number 1, hell, number 86, all being looked at by number 7, right? I think that they're going to continue, and maybe honestly on the other side of the spectrum, instead of waiting until the second half to go into that too high shell, I think they're going to start in that too high shell and dare C.J. Stroud to be perfect and be great every play underneath to be able to make
some mistakes. But here's the difference. I'm not saying your point isn't valid, because it is counterintuitive. Right. Well, what I'm saying is counterintuitive to what the entire NFL has talked about with C.J. Stroud and this offense. But they got a lot of confidence in that secondary. So by default, maybe they can cheat a little bit more, you know, toward the run. Like if I were them, I would say, like, if I love these two corners and I love these safeties, I'm going to maybe put the game on their shoulders a little more.
That's true. That's fair. They've got some great players. We talk about Jalen Johnson. Jalen Johnson is the one that immediately comes to mind. He got paid handsomely, and he should have. That's a fantastic defensive back for those Chicago Bears. Maybe they do go that route where they're like, we're not going to give you help. We trust you guys. I laugh at the idea, but like, we trust you guys to handle these wide receivers on your own.
And then it gets really interesting, right?
We're going to really focus on trying to get downhill. That'd be something, man.
Yeah, then it gets real interesting. And again, I said it's counterintuitive. It probably is not the most logical thing to do, but I
wouldn't go that way personally, no.
But you said, like, what do I expect different? I expect that. I expect them to maybe focus a little bit more attention on this. And by the way, this offensive line, I mean, you know, the more the week has progressed, the more we've heard about Kenyon Green and this offensive line. And it tends to start with Kenyon Green. Like people have looked at the tape over and over again, and coaches have come forward and started talking about what happened last week. And players like Titus Howard yesterday with the drive. I mean, just effusive about Kenyon Green. So that ties into it, too.
You want to hear that? Yeah. Titus Howard, as you mentioned, 215 yesterday. It's why you got to keep it locked on Sports Radio 610. Titus Howard, the starting right tackle for your Houston Texans, rather, joined the drive. This was him talking about and praising Kenyon Green's effort in week one.
Yeah, man. I mean, if you can just go back in time, I've always been an advocate for Kenyon, because, like I tell people all the time, I see the potential. I knew it when we drafted him. I mean, I saw it every day. But, like I say, outside in, for people, don't get to see that, you know, his first 2 years, he was going through a lot of injuries and that. And me, myself, they're going through injury. That's a hard thing to come back from. And it's not easy. So, you know, this last year, he got a chance to get healthy, get in the best shape possible. And, man, all training camp, he's putting on film every day that what type of players he's going to be. So we knew when the game came, first game, we knew what we would see. Everybody was surprised, but we wasn't. But that's just kudos to him, man, because that's the type of kid he is. He hasn't even tapped, like, his full potential yet. That was just a little bit, and he still got stuff he can do better. So the limit, you know, is through the roof, and I know Keenan's going to continue to get better every day. I'm just happy to see, you know, everybody else see what he can do and appreciate having him on the team, because we always appreciate having him.
Man, I don't even want to imagine what it could be like if he does become not just acceptable. That's all we wanted out of Kenyon Green this year.
Yeah.
Coming into the year, we just want him to be acceptable. If he's more than that, then it gets more interesting. What would you expect to be different? Because I'm admittedly saying it's not the most logical necessary thing to do, but I could see where the Bears say, we trust our corners. Let's go one-on-one. Let's put on a show. You know, and the Texans are going to say the same thing. Let's put on a show, and it'd be great matchups and that type of thing. And not strictly man-to-man, but, you know, you get my point. Beat that guy and maybe focus a little bit more attention, and then it becomes a C.J. Stroud game. But what do you expect?
Well, I mean, in the O-line space, I expect that pass protection to look a lot better off the jump, right? Off the start, it should be dialed in. I probably attribute that lacking production, pass protection early on. I'm going ahead and just saying that that's rusty, right? Like, I'm saying that that's because it happened. You saw it more in the first quarter. It was very lackluster.
We started texting each other like, uh-oh.
Yeah. And then you saw it progress to where it looked a lot better in the second half. So I feel better there. And maybe this is wishful thinking. Maybe this is me, you know, sipping on the Kool-Aid. Matt Burke, the defense coordinator, talked about this. I think that there's going to be an adjustment to where that over the top, you know, deep plays, those things are going to be a lot more reined in. And I know that this this Bears team is going to attack that. Like, you see something like that poses to be a real boost to an offensive production, right? Idea of getting chunk plays over the top is always appealing in the National Football League. You're going to try and attest that. I think that there's going to be a very concerted effort to make sure that you send a message to the league that, oh, no. That was a one-time-only proposition, and especially because I don't think that your secondary is going to be as focused on having to factor into the run game. Obviously, there's some run potential here, right? Like, they have, Swift, the running back there? Obviously, Caleb Williams, he can utilize his legs, but we're not talking about Jonathan Taylor. Yeah. We're not talking about Anthony Richardson. And that was a clear focus for this defense, and I think that shifted some of the eyes into the backfield for the secondary. I think the secondary will be playing a little bit further back and at least being able to get over top of those routes and not let them deeper. I think that'll definitely be a shift.
That's a good one, and my second one ties in directly to that. And that is something that we mentioned on Wednesday, Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter coming off that edge. If you get those guys, you just can't expect them to be sackless again, particularly Danielle Hunter, you know, a guy that had 16-plus sacks last year.
Yeah.
Like, if they can get to Caleb Williams on top of the pressure that you expect from the two defensive tackles that each had a sack last week, well, then all of a sudden those safeties get a lot better. You know, we all know that. That's an old axiom in football. You know, put pressure on the quarterback, you're not going to get beat on the deep ball that much. So I expect Will Anderson and Danielle Hunter to get going.
Some things that are coming in on the text line from the 832. They say they expect more blitz and better pass rush from the Texans. You mentioned pass rush. I do find that interesting. I think that contain is going to be very important to not allow Caleb Williams to start, you know, doing that thing that he does when you get into like the schoolyard type of this. I do wonder if there's going to be more blitz. I understand he's a rookie quarterback, and if you treat him like a rookie, maybe that is just heat him up and see if he can handle that particular pressure. But that seems to kind of go a little bit against what the ideas and what the kind of baseline is for this defense more often than not. It's pressure with four for the most part, and I think that they're going to be capable. So I'm not certain if we see more blitz, but we'll ultimately see how that plays.
I think what's interesting, and I like that point that the texter made, because it's not in their DNA to blitz a lot, but they do blitz.
Yeah.
And I think let's keep an eye on Jalen Petrie. You know, that they put him there for a reason, there being the nickel. And maybe they're going to part of confusing Caleb Williams, which every rookie quarterback is going to get all kinds of different looks from a defensive coordinator. Part of confusing him may be bringing Jalen Petrie, who's a guy that can get around the ball quickly, and that's where his strength is. So keep an eye on Jalen Petrie. If you are going to see some stuff like that, it might come from there.
Well, you don't want to know what I realized? 832 texted in, I expect this to be the Tank Dell game. We didn't speak to the idea of what could be different is just which one of these wide receivers feast, as opposed to, Nico Collins, 117 over top. Is it a shift in the way that Stephon Diggs gets the ball, where maybe it's not 40 yards, maybe it's closer to 60, 70, or is it going to be Tank Dell not just getting all the targets, but also reeling some of those in for catches because C.J. Stroud is more dialed in? That'll be a really interesting proposition. Sunday night football, Texans versus the Bears here in NRG Stadium. Excited for that. And with that game coming up next, let's talk about the matchups to watch. Let's get more specific. Texans on Bears, what matchups are we looking for? We'll talk about that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Ready to expand your financial game? NerdWallet can coach you on smart strategies like choosing investments, finding your next credit card, and setting a budget that works for you. Score major points towards your summer vacation by learning expert tips for choosing a high-yield savings account and how to build wealth by investing in index funds. Slide into summer with smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app. Future you will thank you.
For those in recovery, support from friends and family often leads to better outcomes. Here's to those who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. Visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose for information about treatment options and how to support those experiencing addiction.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Oh, such a clutch off-season pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
And a minimal salary cap hit. Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too. What,
you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 45% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 45% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.